Good morning. Welcome to Paynton Baptist Church. It's lovely to see you. My name's Stephen Colson, the pastor here, and it's a delight to welcome regulars and irregulars this morning. And people I know, we've got a bit of a problem. Liverpudlians are recommending other Liverpudlians to come. So good stuff.
Excellent. That's a bit better. We're on now. I'm a bit distracted this morning, and it's all your fault, because you're here. I was just saying to Claire, I just get distracted.
God, we thank you that we come into this place. And we can meet you, the creator of the universe, the one who created us, is right here. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you welcome us and you're going to reveal yourself to us. Draw us closer to you. Speak to us, reassure us, empower us, inspire us. Draw us closer to each other and also to be more compassionate for those in the world around us. May your kingdom come. May your will be done today, we pray. Amen.
Right. As we always say, because we're alive, we've got notices. And so it's good to have notices. Firstly, a very simple one. If you've got a key to the front door of the church that belongs in the Crosslink sector, could you find it and put it back and let us know that you found it? Because the front door key seems to keep on going missing. So we do need the front door key to be handy.
It was there this morning.
That's
a new one.
It's a new one. The one that was there is gone. So there's a front door key gone missing somewhere. For the second or third time. So if you've got it, pass it on. That'd be great. Today's communion offering, we have when we have communion service, we have an opportunity to give an extra offering for different places, opportunities to give. And this one today is for our fellowship fund. And there's a fund that is given to by the church, made available to the minister, to help those who need a bit of financial support in a particular crisis situation, that sort of thing. And we had lots of money given at the Holy Spirit Day yesterday, and the surplus beyond that which was needed has gone in there. If you think, yes, I'd like to, in response to God's love for me, to give that extra offering, that's where it will be going to this month. The box is outside. Could we have the trailer, Sheila? That's the first thing on the projector there. If you go back to the beginning, straight after the... this is about next week.
We lost a number of people in northeastern Uganda due to famine. The situation is heartbreaking and is affecting a number of people like Barbara.
There is a big difference in farming compared to when I was young and growing up. It is very unreliable. But if I don't farm, I have nowhere to get food. So that is how I get motivated to keep on working hard.
That's a trailer for our harvest service next week. BMS, Baptist Missionary Society, always have a harvest appeal every year, and we normally support that here. And there'll be more information next week about the work that BMS are doing in Uganda. And interestingly enough, the missionaries that we've been praying for a long time, Victor and Caroline, have just received confirmation from the Baptist Missionary Society that having left Guinea, they're leaving Guinea right now, this weekend, this coming up during this week, they'll be leaving, Their next placement is going to be in Gulu, which is North Uganda, which is where the video and everything else we're going to be hearing next week is all about. So that's really good timing. And Victor Callum will be coming here later in October. It's the 24th of October. So 28th. So our harvest appeal next week is particularly focused on BMS, but we also bring our gifts and they'll be displayed here. Do bring things to the service that can be given to the food bank and so on as a way of saying thank you to God for all the things that he's given us. And that will be a great occasion. Do let people know we're having our harvest Thanksgiving. And something else we've usually done, but we don't have to do every year, is have a harvest lunch, where we have the opportunity to come together as a church family, to get to know each other a bit, and to celebrate, to give thanks for all that God has done for us. Now, so far, just a few people have signed up on the list, and it's probably because more and more now we're last-minute type people. But it doesn't really work if you need to know whether to do an event or whether to provide food for an event. So we really need to know whether we should be doing it. We've got a good number, but nowhere near enough really to be a whole church family event. So if you think, yes, I've been meaning to do that, I must sign on the list. Do it today. And also we could, major food items are being provided by a small team for which we're very grateful. But there is an opportunity for all of us to bring something. Have a look on the list. Sign up to come. Have a look on the list as to what to bring. And also, next Saturday afternoon will be a set-up time for the harvest meal, and we need some extra people to help. If you can have a word with Debbie at the back, well, no, this will be at the back when you see her, but Debbie's at the back at the moment. Have a word with her about when and how you could help. Okay, so it's a great opportunity, but we just don't want to do things for the sake of them. So if it's not the right thing to do, we won't do it. But if you think, yes, it's good to come together as a family to celebrate, then do sign up today. That'd be great. Lastly, I just want to say thank you to all those who prayed and came and prepared for our Holy Spirit Day yesterday. It was a lovely time with God to hear about who the Holy Spirit is, what he does, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Could those who came put their hands up? Right, have a good look around. That's, okay, hands down. You don't need to miss out if you weren't there. For two reasons. One, you can talk to those people who just put their hands up and they'll tell you what happened. But secondly, I've got a secret to let you into. Today is the Holy Spirit Day. Did you know that? It's not just yesterday that we find out about who the Holy Spirit is or say, please fill me with your Holy Spirit, because it says in the Bible, go on being filled with the Holy Spirit today. I've run out since yesterday. I've drained. I need to be filled again with the Holy Spirit today. Who else? Yes. So we'll pray now for God to fill us with his Holy Spirit. And then we'll come into worship. Father Jesus, we thank you that you have given us the gift of Holy Spirit, freely to all who put their faith in you. And Holy Spirit, we ask now that you come upon each of us individually, and upon us as a whole church body, with all our guests. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Just a couple of verses from Psalm 61. When we come to our time of worship, we've got a few songs to sing. There are spaces for bringing the word that God gives you, or prayer. Feel free to stand or to sit. It's an informal time of worship in the sense of we're free to be who we are. Truly, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns all day long.
the promises that God has given us. Perhaps you'd like to speak out a promise that God has given us that we can believe.
Everlasting life.
Thank you, Lord.
Save us.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, that you never forsake us or leave us.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. While the earth remains, springtime and harvest will never fail.
Thank you, Lord.
The Lord will be a strong shepherd.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you that you promised to lead us and guide us.
Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him. For God is our refuge. Jesus is the lover of my soul. He loves us. He loves us deep within.
Yeah.
today to surrender to the Lord, to say you're in charge. He is good. We can trust him to be in charge. He knows what's best for us. He loves us so much. He invites us to confess him as Lord. He invites us to enter into all the good things he's prepared for us. But it does need us to surrender. To say, Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, all for Jesus, all I am and have and ever hope to be. For it's only in your will that I am free. The world thinks that freedom is to avoid you, to ignore you, to be their own God. But true freedom is when we surrender to you, our Creator and loving Lord. There's no fear with you, Jesus. Release us from fear. There's no guilt when you've forgiven us. There's no shame when you've made us a child of God. Set us free.
For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold for those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you.
Amen. Amen. And we're going to come straight into our next part of our service, which really follows straight on from how we've been worshipping. Andrew, would you like to come up the front? Come up to the first step, that'll do. And that's for you. Okay-do. You need to eat it like an ice cream, all right? Okay-do. It's a wonderful thing that we are part of God's family. And all those who put their faith in Jesus are part of the church. All one church. But also, God puts us into small families. And like this one. And when people in a Baptist church have that sense of, yeah, this is where God wants me. This is where, for the next period of time, however long, this is where I'm to be. Then we invite people to say, well, become a member of the church. And that means you're committed to us, we're committed to you. And it's a covenant relationship, walking together, watching over one another. That's been the principle for 400 years, the Baptist church, but it's been always the principle right from the very beginning when Jesus created the church, that we're here, walking together, watching over one another. And the members of the church hold the values of the church. They hold the gospel that the church preaches. And the members are really important. They make the decisions about the church life, led by the Holy Spirit. So becoming a member is a privilege, it's a responsibility, but it's also a great joy. And Andrew has decided to embrace the joy and the adventure of becoming a member of the church. And something that we talked about yesterday in a conversation with Dan Hobson, who is here at the Holy Spirit Day, he's not here today, but we'll be back soon, and Suzanne was there as well. Andrew, in becoming a member of this church, does not have to fit in with us. As Andrew is becoming a member of the church, so we are no longer the same Paignton Baptist Church we were. Andrew and us moved to a new place with Andrew in it. So we are now a different church. And the same applies every time someone else comes and joins the church. We become a new church. So you don't have to fit in with us, all right? You're free to be you. And but this is a covenant relationship. And there's some promises that Andrew's going to make, and declarations he's going to make, and then you've got a responsibility as well. So in the name of our loving God, it is our joy to welcome Andrew into the membership of this church.
Andrew is fully committed to serving God in our church family, in the community of Paignton and beyond. And today we acknowledge and thank God for that commitment. So Andrew, this is your question. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, your Creator and Redeemer and the Sustainer of all things?
I do. This is the God in whom I trust.
Do you believe that God has led you to share in the worship, life and witness of this local congregation?
I do, and thank God for the gift of fellowship.
Will you share with us the gifts God has given you, that together we may serve God in our local community and in the wider world?
I will. All I have is given by God.
As members of a Baptist church, we covenant together as a community of the disciples of Jesus Christ. Baptized into his name, we share the joys and responsibilities of fellowship. We gather for worship and to discern the mind of Christ. Together we seek the kingdom of God through prayer, witness, and service. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, we seek to build one another up in love. Will you share with us in this common life and service? And will you walk together with us before God in ways that are known and yet to be made known?
I will. Thanks be to God.
Right. Now, as I always say, check on them. Our first question. Do you welcome Andrew into the fellowship of this worshipping community?
We do.
God has given us this gift of this brother, and through him has given us gifts for ministry in the life and witness of this congregation. Will you support Andrew in his Christian service and in the responsibilities of church membership?
We will.
Thanks be to God. Then our third question. That's the one. An important one. Will you pray for Andrew and encourage him through hospitality, friendship, and prayer?
We will, in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus Christ.
Loving God, we believe that you have guided Andrew to this church, and we rejoice in the covenant promises we've made together. We pray that he may grow in grace, strengthen his faith and ours, and build up this community of your people, that together we may be faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Send your Holy Spirit upon Andrew. Strengthen him for service and make him more like Jesus. Through your grace, empower us all, that our life together might glorify you and witness to a needy world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So at this point, I give you a right hand, which is basically, we receive you to the membership of the church. That for you. This is your moment to say anything you want to say to us. You don't have to, but use the microphone.
You might not see me in many meetings just because I work evenings as a cleaner, so you might, that's the only reason why I might not be there. But apart from that, thank you very much for accepting me. And thank you to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for everything that's happened today, yesterday, and from here on onwards, because it's everything's for them and by them, through them. Amen.
Thank you, Andrew. You're a great encouragement to us. Let me give you that to take with you. We have an opportunity now for us to worship through giving money, a financial offering. I know many of you have already given through the bank and everything else. So as the bag comes round, this is for the regular members of our church to put something in. Grab hold of it if you've already given through the bank, just to have that sense of, yes, I'm giving. Visitors, we'd just love to have you with us. We're not after your money. If you want to give, feel free, but this is a free will offering when it's not a price to be paid for coming to the church. So. Father, we thank you. We can give to you with a big smile on our faces, knowing that you've given so much to us. Multiply these gifts, we pray, that many more will come to know your love. Amen. Now, we've got a treat today because we've got Zeb and Noah with us, who we've not seen for a while. It's lovely to see you. I still can't forget, Zeb, that wonderful ball that you brought at Christmas time, that when he bounced it, light flashed out of it. It was just the best Christmas present ever. It wasn't even mine, it was yours. It was just great. So it's lovely to see Zeb and Noah, and we've got Connie and Lexi. Lexi sandwiched between. Lovely to see you. Let's pray for our children. And Rowena, who's working with you? Is it Shirley today? Wonderful. Father, I thank you for blessing us with children. Children of all ages, but particularly these lovely children here we just named. Zeb and Noah and Lexi and Connie. I thank you for Shirley and Rowena working with them. Lord, help them understand your great love and trust you with their lives. Amen. Okie-doke. Great. Have a lovely time. We'll see you a bit later for communion. I'm just listening for the patter of tiny feet going up the stairs. It's a joyful sound. I'm going to pray for David, who's bringing us a message from God's Word today. Father, thank you for David. Thank you that he has wrestled with your word, that he's listened to you for your word. And I pray that we'd hear clearly what you are saying to us today. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And if the microphone doesn't work.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you all. As a church, we've experienced a lot of suffering in recent weeks and months. And knowing a number of you, I know a number of you have individually experienced suffering. It is my observation that all who God uses experience suffering. A favourite verse when suffering is Job's word, "But he, that's God, knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold." Are you suffering? The Lord knows all about it and will use it for your perfection and his glory. Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2 says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze."
God is with us in all our suffering, and we are promised that suffering will not sweep over us as in a flood or burn us as in a wild fire. If you've experienced recent suffering, verses 1 to 10 of Isaiah 40 are for you. Thank you.
The scripture can be found on page 724 of your Bibles, and it's Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 10. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid, say to the towns of Judah. Here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with you, and his recompense accompanies him. Thanks be to the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Joe. After several chapters of mainly judgment and occasional hope, Isaiah now turns his attention to comfort and challenge to God's people. God's people have been through a lot, but God promises comfort. He says, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. So who are God's people? Who are God's people? Well, first of all, the Israelites are God's people. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, Moses let them know that they are the people of God. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. The people of God are and were the Israelites. However, in the New Testament we read, John chapter 1, verse 12, yet to all who did receive Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Romans 1, 16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, but then to the Gentile. Romans 10, verse 12, there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. If you have turned from sin, accepted the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, you are a member of God's people. Are you one of God's people? If not already, you could become one this morning, you know. All you have to do is to turn from everything you know to be wrong and accept him as a Lord and Saviour. Do you know, one of the delights of my life is to be a member of God's church. It's great to belong, to be accepted, to share in the joys and sufferings of my brothers and sisters, and to know them sharing my joys
and sorrows. As Paul tells us, bear one another's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. So, what comfort does God give to his people? Let's read verses 1 and 2. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and proclaim to her that her hard surface of warfare has been completed. Her sin has been paid for. She has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Firstly, the people of God are told that their hard surface of warfare has been completed. Now, at the time of these verses, the people of Israel were in a time of exile and hard service to their oppressors. Isaiah is predicting a time of end to this exile. Now, these words are prophetic, so this end may not be straight away, but eventually there will be a deliverance. And as we know, eventually through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So how does that apply to us? In two ways. Firstly, we can know victory in our present battles through the power of God's Spirit. Although times can be tough and painful, we can know God's power and presence. And eventually we can be sure of future total victory when we see Jesus face to face. We're in a fight. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, as Paul reminds us, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. But eventual victory is certain. All Christians fight battles against our bodily weakness, temptations, and Satan. Nonetheless, we can still be more than conquerors through him who loved us. The battle is still there for the moment. But as John tells us in 1 John 4, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Later, Paul assures us, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Wow. Sufferings can be really nasty, can be really unpleasant, can be really horrible. But Paul assures us, our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Wow. Whatever happens, however we feel, we can be certain of victory over the power of sin in our daily lives, and the final victory when we see our Saviour face to face. One day our hard service and warfare will be over as we rest with the Lord Jesus forever. Our hard service or warfare will be completed for the triumphant victory of Jesus over sin, Satan, and death. The victory is promised and will one day be totally completed. Second, comfort. God's people's, the sin of the people of God, God's people's sin has been paid for. Our sin has been paid for. A great benefit of being part of God's family is that we are free from the guilt and power of sin. Our suffering is often not due to our own sin, but all sin can be forgiven. Sin is a great debt we all owe, but this debt has been completely paid by the Lord Jesus on the cross. Hallelujah. Romans 6:23 reminds us, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And Mark 10:45, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Total forgiveness.
Thank you, Lord.
One of my favourite verses on forgiveness is found in Isaiah 1, verse 18. Isaiah says this on God's behalf. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool.
does not downplay our sin. It's real and it's obvious in his sight, as scarlet and crimson. However, through the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus, we can be as white as snow or wool, which has achieved an incredible cost. He himself, not Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds we've been healed. Does that seem unfair that God would pay double payment for our sin? Well, I'm indebted to a guy called Moshe, who's written a brilliant commentary on Isaiah, and he says this: double means to fold over, fold in half. When something is folded over, each half corresponds exactly with the other half. And this would yield the thought of exact correspondence between sin and payment. A payment has been made, and it's exactly the payment that was needed. When Jesus died for his people on the cross, he died to save us from the guilt and power of sin. John says, Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but the son belongs to it forever. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Amen. Jesus offers us true freedom from the guilt and power of sin. Old hymn has it: "Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure, cleanse me from its guilt and power." What comfort! Warfare has been completed. Our sin has been paid for. We have received from the Lord the exact payment for all our sins. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. We are forgiven. Totally forgiven. Mm-hmm. But our passage also has a challenge. We have the comfort from God, but the challenge. Verses 3 to 8 go on to describe the work of John the Baptist, who is a wonderful example, a model for us, as pointing to Jesus. We read verses 9 and 10 again. "You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him." And the challenge? We Christians have good news to bring to others. It's been said that all too often we Christians can be like rivers flowing into the Arctic Ocean, frozen at the mouth. But yes, I don't find it easy to share my faith. Very often I feel frozen at the mouth. But you know, it's good to just feel the stress and tell them anyway. This week I had my eyes tested, and I remember a group called Good News for Everyone, and we offer New Testaments. And I thought, oh, shall I not? And the optician was a lovely lady, and so I offered her a New Testament. Oh, fantastic, thank you very much. Very often people are more willing to accept than we are to give. My brothers and sisters, let's not be frozen at the mouth. Let's be those who share with others, even if we find it hard. And I, for one, find it hard. I think even Stephen finds it hard. Amazing. The Apostle Peter reminds us, "In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." Mm. My friends, don't hit me over the head. Gentleness and respect. Let us regularly remind each other, and all we mean, our God rules with a mighty arm and will one day come to judge. As Paul reminds us in Romans 10, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one in which they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them?
How can anyone preach unless they are sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. May the Lord give us all beautiful feet as we share the good news through the power of the Spirit. We may not always feel like it, but let's do it. Anyway, let's pray together. Dear Holy Lord, thank you that we can be a member of your family. Please help us to support each other in times of suffering. Thank you that you know all that we suffer, and you will deliver us in your good time. In the meantime, may we know that our warfare has been completed, that all our sins are completely forgiven, so we can be free from the guilt and power of sin, and one day, free from the presence of sin in heaven. Please help us to share the good news with our friends, family, and neighbours through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, David. Let's just spend a moment to reflect on what David has brought us. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Thank you, Father. That's everybody here. That's everybody in our street. Everyone in our family. Everyone in our town. Your invitation is to everyone. Lord, may we call upon you. And then may we go where you send us to encourage others to call upon you to be saved from present troubles, past sins, and from future separate from you. Spur us on, Lord, we pray, by your Holy Spirit, to share this good news that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. A song to take us into communion focuses on Jesus and his great love for us.
Jesus, the Nazarene, I'm known by.
celebrate this meal today because Jesus told us to. And it's a meal that looks to the past, because by the blood of Jesus, our sins are forgiven. It's a meal that enables us to celebrate the fact today that we are the body of Christ. And it is a meal that looks to the future. This is a foretaste of the heavenly banquet that we shall one day eat with Jesus, the groom and the bride together. This meal is open to everybody who wants to say thank you to Jesus for dying for them. And we hear the patter of little feet coming down. Come on in, come on in. You arrived at just the right time. The invitation to our children and our adults is the same. If you believe in Jesus and want to say thank you for what he's done, then you are free to partake of this meal. It's a lovely picture that David has brought us today, that the blood of Christ fits exactly the sins that we've committed. It covers every one of them. Paid double. It just completely covers. So there's nothing that we've said or done, or haven't said or done, that we're not forgiven when we come to Jesus. God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Come to this table, not because you must, because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and you want to love him more. Come because he loved you and he gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. For those who are serving would like to and praying would like to come to the front. Thank you. Thank you. The Apostle Paul tells us of how the Lord's Supper was started, instituted by Jesus himself. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in memory of me." The body of Jesus broken apart in the crucifixion. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." the blood poured out on the cross, pictured in the wine. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Andrew's going to lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving.
Lord God, our almighty Father, our awesome God, you are the Lord of the universe. You have billions of galaxies, each of billions of stars and billions of planets under your loving control. And yet, you know and love each of us individually. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us, and especially the love shown when you came among us in the person of Jesus, that you were prepared to suffer terrible pain and insult to enable us to be saved from the consequences of our sins. And thank you for this bread commemorating your broken body and this wine commemorating your shed blood. Thank you that death is not the end, as demonstrated by the glorious resurrection. We are eternally thankful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. As you receive the bread, eat it. Take it in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. And hold on to the cups and we'll drink those together. Thank you. We drink this cup together, remembering that we are one body in Christ, and remembering that all our sins are cleansed by the blood of Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we commemorate. Your resurrection, we confess. Your final coming, we await. Glory be to you, O Christ. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and open the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Before we come to our final song, we have an opportunity to pour out our heart to the Lord. We've already heard heartfelt prayers today. The Lord has already heard your heartfelt prayers. In this moment now, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. If the Lord has laid somebody or a place on your heart today, pour out your heart to him now.
You to comfort members of my family at the moment, Lord.
Yeah.
Having had such a wonderful, glorious day yesterday, I get home to find my sister-in-law has asked me to ring her. And when I rang her, she said that my brother was in hospital having had a big stroke. And strangely, he can't and won't accept that fact. He almost feels he'll live forever and therefore has lots of tests and lots of examinations, cameras into the heart and everything else that can't be good for him. Lord, I ask that you touch the heart of my brother, my sister-in-law, my two nieces, and their may they come to know through what has happened how much you care for each and every one of us, how heaven is there for those that believe. So in this sad time, I ask that you be with all those, particularly that do not know. So be with us and guide us, Lord, in these difficult times. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, you came to set people free, and we know that many are held captive by what's happened to them or what they've done themselves, held captive by others. Lord, we pray that you would set the captives free. You would release the oppressed as good news of your salvation is preached. Amen.
Father, I want to pray for two people this morning. Oliver particularly. We miss him for the service this morning. Pray that he might have found a home already in the church in Loughborough. But I just want to ask you to be with him and help him during this week through times of difficulty or times of joy. Just bless him, Lord, and look after him. And also, I want to pray for the parents of that girl who was murdered a couple of days ago on her way to school.
Yeah.
And I say goodbye to her in the morning, and then that's the news they get when they're not to home. So I just lift that family up. They struggled to send this girl to some special school, and I just can't understand why people do these things. So I pray for the whole family and for the family of the boy who's done it, in Jesus' name.
Lord, I want to say thank you. Thank you for those people in the travel lodge who took in my friend when she fell over, and were so kind to her. Though we think of all the evil that's in the world, Lord, there is still good. Those people didn't know my friend. They entertained us and gave us drinks for 4 hours till the ambulance came, and they didn't know any of us, Lord. But thank you, Lord, that you do. You do send people to help us. And Lord, let us not keep asking, but thank you. Thanking you, Lord. If your children keep ask, and never say thank you, in your heart you have a little spot that's sad. So Lord, we must thank you. Thank you for all the good people in this world.
Lord, I want to pray for Ellie this morning, Lord, who is suffering greatly, both physically in pain and with issues, but with her mental health problems as well, Lord. Lord, the mental health system isn't really able to help her. There are so many other people, Lord, in such dire need. But Lord, she was such a healthy young girl, Lord, and it was when she started to think about being baptized that she suddenly her health seemed to go downhill, Lord. So I don't know, Lord, if any of this is a spiritual matter. You alone know that, Lord. So pray, Lord, for her healing.
Bless you.
I pray, Lord, that you will release the chains that bind her. Set her free,
yes,
and make her, Lord, to be the young person you designed her to be, her creation.
Yes,
in Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, we agree with this prayer. We agree with this prayer. We agree together. Lord, you said whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And so, Lord, we agree together, this blessing upon Ellie, that you will set this captive free, that she will rejoice with singing. She will skip like a deer. That she will pray that she will shine like a rainbow. Lord, we pray that she will be all that you purposed her to be.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Father God, would you pray?
above. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we put our trust in you and we give you thanks in advance for the prayer answer to these prayers that are going to be coming in the days ahead. Amen.
Amen.
We often sing a song to finish with that is quite a bouncy, but not this time. This is a song that it's a thoughtful song. It's described in the music books we've got here, and it's a thoughtful song, looking for God to work in the midst of a world that is suffering. How long?
Songs of joy.
innocent into a hurting world in the power of the Holy Spirit to live and work for the glory of Jesus. Amen.